I didn't even get halfway through my message, new series on making wise a simple. Of course, the first couple weeks I've been talking about give subtlety to the simple in verse number 4, Proverbs 1, verse 4. I came across this in my studying, so I'm going to pick up, if you will, kind of where I left off, and we'll see how we go. And I've got a couple weeks' worth of notes here, I think. So I hope it's a blessing to you. Of course, our goal is to reach the next generation. And that's really, of course, the church. I talked last week about the church. I'm going to review a little bit here in a moment more. But I talked last week, of course, the purpose of the church is to win the lost to Christ. But we also need to be reaching the next generation. And came across this today on the internet. Just was kind of going through a few things here. And every day in America, this is the statistics, okay, cited from July 1997. So it's about 11-year-old stat here. But every day in America, 2,975 teenagers get pregnant. This is every day now. This was 97 too, 1997. Six teenagers commit suicide. 211 teenagers are arrested for drug abuse. 372 teenage girls have a miscarriage. 1,629 teenagers are placed in adult jails. 1,106 teenagers have an abortion. 3,288 children run away from home. 7,742 teenagers become sexually active. 1,512 teenagers drop out of school. 2,989 children experience their parents' divorce. 437 teenagers are arrested for drinking and driving. Now, in the next 30 minutes, in this stat here, in the next 30 minutes, 29 teenagers will attempt suicide. 14 girls under 16 will have a baby. 57 teenagers will run away from home. 32 girls will have an abortion. And 685 teenagers will take narcotics. That's really a stunning statistic when you think about it. And many may have resulted in what we were talking about last week, and we're going to pick up on it. Maybe the lack of prudent parenting, the lack of prudent teaching, which, of course, leading them to scorn leadership, leading them to scorn authority, which ultimately leads them to foolishness. We're going to pick up on that, but it was stunning. That's just a little bit of food for thought. But, of course, got thinking just in review here. Purpose of the church is not just to reach the lost. I happen to believe it is our job to train and teach the next generation to live for God. I mentioned about how I believe in all the fellowships we're having. I mean, the things that we're starting for all ages. Why are we doing that? Because we want prudent people, that's wise people, to go ahead and teach our young people so that they can go ahead and live for God, so that they can become prudent, so they can reproduce themselves, and they can teach their youngins when they get older and get married and so forth to live for God. Hey, we need to be producing ourselves. That's why I'm for all the things we're starting, and for all these fellowships we're doing, having children's things in church and different things. I also, in review, the Bible describes five different groups of people. And you'll find that these groups are all interrelated. In Proverbs, this is what we're hitting a lot of the next few weeks. You'll find the simple one. That's one category. This will be our central character for this study. And then number two, the prudent person. Number three, the wise one. Number four, the scorner. And number five, the foolish. And then of course, we're talking a lot about the simple one here. Proverbs 1:4 reads, to give subtlety or prudence or wisdom to the simple, to give the young man knowledge and discretion, verse number 4 of Proverbs 1. Someone has said that the simple one is this, the unpleaded one. The definition of the term simple here is the unpleaded one or the uncomplicated one. The simple one is the one whose life has not yet entered into the complications of life or has not entered into the many folds of life, such as mortgage payments, marriage, utility bills, car payments, car insurance, and so forth. Also, by way of review, we talked about our responsibility as prudent teachers. Our responsibility as prudent parents or prudent leaders is to teach them wisdom and understanding. As I grew into the youth ministry, of course, I gave that illustration, I soon realized that the lives of today's simple ones, that's the young people, if you will, became more and more complicated. And one area of complication, which we just read about, a statistic, is a complication of immorality. It is seen and more prevalent in all the so-called children, teen shows of today, television, promoting immodesty and looseness and opposite sex and all this. I gave statistics of sex education in schools and contraceptives are being passed out as young as an 11-year-old. A poll result that I saw last week, okay? Last week on the local news, a poll whether contraceptives should be passed out in high schools in Massachusetts. This was very stunning as well. 62%, yes, pass them out. A stunning 38% said, no, don't pass them out. That'd be our crowd, probably. The reason is, okay, and I'm reviewing here, okay, the reason why we have this immoral problem, if you will, let me give this illustration. Brother Scott, I remember, he implanted this. This is an illustration that he gave at a youth conference or something. I think it was last year when he took, he used to be a bus captain in East Chicago, Illinois. And when he took the big pastor to First Baptist Church, he was still a bus captain on that route for a while. But he gave an illustration, something that happened on his route. A mom of one of his girls on his bus route told him that four girls in her daughter's fifth grade class were carrying babies. I wonder why. Could it be because of the lack of prudent teaching? I'm sure. The lack of wisdom. The reason is that the young ones fail, is because they do not have the prudent people in their lives to teach them. It is sin, and when it is finished, sin, the Bible says, when it is finished, does bring forth death, and it has consequence. Complications of immorality have been brought into a place where the young person are unable to deal with these huge responsibilities, such as carrying babies at 11 years old, 12 years old. Now that's a real statistic. The simple person will one day, as they grow, will come to a fork in the road. This is where I kind of left off, may review a little bit here. And some of this might be repetitious, but I hope we get up here. You know, again, the purpose, why are we here? Okay, we're not here just for ourselves. We're not here just to satisfy ourselves and work a job and just come to church and have fellowship. And that's fine. We ought to come to church. We ought to have fellowship in the church. That's very important. But the truth of the matter is we are here to serve another generation. Okay, I'm here to raise my kids in the admonition of the Lord. As pastor, my goal is not just to win the lost to Christ. And we need to do that. I'm for soul winning, starting all the soul winning programs in the world. And by the way, if we get out soul winning and winning the lost to Christ, you know what? Then we can get them in church and we can disciple them and get them under more prudence, if you will, under more prudent people, under more wise people, so they can make wise decisions. But the truth of the matter is, why do we want to go soul winning? Why do we want to start these programs so that the young people, I'm talking about your child, your teenager, the children of Faith Baptist Church, or the teens of Faith Baptist Church, can go ahead and make wise decisions down the road. So I talked about that fork in the road that we're going to come up with. And I'm going to need this. I'm going to probably walk around a little bit because I got an illustration. I know I used this before, but Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14, you can turn to it. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14. This is something I just kind of implemented, and I hope it works out, just about an hour ago. But Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Okay, let me just stop and illustrate this again for a moment. If you remember, I think back along, I was teaching on leadership, and I brought my son up here. And the Bible says, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. If you remember, I brought my son up here. I brought several different people up here, okay? And representing prudent people, representing the teachers of the church, if you will, representing a parent, representing many, many key roles that are implemented in the life of a child, in that particular case was my son. And how we all need to be on the same page, okay? We all need to, in a sense, instead of gnawing at each other and say, Pastor, I don't think we ought to do it this way, or instead of bickering back and forth, you know, if we're going to reach this child, okay, if you remember, if we're going to reach this child for Christ, then we as leaders, mom and daddy, the pastor, the Sunday school teacher, the youth director, all these different people need to be on the same page. In a sense, we ought to be linking arms. Instead of kind of being loose and so forth and having a little gap there where the devil will go ahead and have a little opportunity to creep in, we need to be linking arms simply because where there no counsel is, okay, the people fall. Hey, you know what? If we don't go ahead and counsel this young man, if you will, this simple one, if you will, prudently and with wisdom, you know, he's going to go ahead and fall. And all of us, okay, all of we leaders, if you will, we need to be on the same page. Okay, so, all right, now the simple one, if you will, he has these counselors. And by the way, these counselors are important right on from nursery, right on up until they get into adulthood. Okay, that's who we're primarily talking about. Okay, and you know, I could go many, many different areas, but I gotta keep this rule of thought here. So here is a simple one from the very nursery. That's why it's important as a parent. You know, as a parent, you ought to get your child right immediately into the nursery. You have a baby, okay? You know what? Hey, the decision's already made in my family, and it really ought to be in yours as well. Hey, you know what? We go to church. So what's that mean? As a baby, Sunday morning, okay? You know what? We have nursery Sunday school, and then we have all these Sunday schools right on up. So the child, all right, the child has all these counselors and prudent people, if you will, that will go ahead and teach and train he or she right up until about teenage years. And also, he will still have these prudent people. But let me just say this. When they get to this fork in the road, okay, we have taught them through their elementary stages. But let me tell you something. Once they get to be teens, it becomes a little bit different. It really does. Okay? There's a lot more peer pressure, if you will. It's a lot more temptation to fall, if you will. That's why, even as a youngin', you have all these counselors binding together on the same page, serving God together, teaching and training this young child from young, and then first kindergarten, we're doing the same thing, and right on up through first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth. And once they hit that sixth grade, it seems like if we're not careful, okay, if we're not careful, if we don't keep our guard up with these kids, and if the kids that we teach don't keep their guard up, they're going to come to this fork, all right? And at this fork, as they go ahead and live this life, if you will, picture with me now, they're going to come to this fork, and the Bible teaches here, of course, they're a simple person, and they'll be like a scorner, if you will, waiting there for them, or the prudent one will be waiting for them. Okay, they're going to come to this fork. Now, and they're going to have a very important decision to make. And that's why, young people, you know what? Where no counsel is, you will fall. Let me tell you something. You get in a rut in life. Don't you think you can go ahead and figure it out for yourself? You know, you get to your godly mom and daddy. You ask advice. And you get to your youth pastor, your youth director. You ask advice. You go ahead and you listen to the preaching of the Word of God. You get in Sunday school class because you're going to need all that teaching. And we leaders, we better stay on the same page and don't get bickering halfway in between. Because let me tell you something, if leaders start getting upset at each other and, well, we shouldn't do it this way or we shouldn't do it this way and so forth, you know what? This child right here is going to be very devastated and it's going to become very complicated for this child. Oh, well, you know what? And somewhere in between, maybe about the fourth, fifth, sixth grade, if you will, they're going to see, well, you know what? My leaders in life, they're supposed to be the smart people. They're supposed to be the prudent people, if you will. They can't get along. And you know what? That's going to be very, very, very devastating to that child. And so what happens, you know, and that's why we need to all be on the same page. Our goal is to reach the next generation, and we need to teach them and keep them in church every single Sunday. We need to keep them in a Sunday school class. And as I mentioned before, you know, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, church and Christ ought to be the forefront of your home, okay? You ought to have the Word of God taught in your home, and then you ought to, without decision, it shouldn't be a decision. I've said it before, that church shouldn't be an option in the home. Well, do I get up in the morning? No. You know what? Hey, mama and daddy, you decide, hey, I'm going to church and my kids are going to church from nursery right on up. And then you get them under these wise leaders so that when they do come to this point, there'll be a scorner there waiting for them.
okay? We're talking about this fork now, okay? And there's one of two possible paths that this young, simple one will take. Will they go ahead and take the scorning path, which the Bible teaches will lead to foolishness, foolish behavior? Or will they go ahead and take the prudent path? The prudent one is here. Like I said, there's five different categories. You have the simple one, which can either go to the prudent or the foolish, okay? And if you go the prudent path, the prudent will go ahead and lead them to wisdom, to wise decisions. Hey, the scorner, if you will go ahead and lead them to foolishness and foolish behavior. And you know what? Is it no wonder why the jailhouses are full? Hey, is it no wonder why them stats that I read a while ago simply is because it was a breakdown, if you will, of prudent people, perhaps, in the home or in their life, you know, and look at our world today. If it feels good, do it. You know, we talked about it last week. They write in schools today. I've got about Christian public schools today. They promote sexuality. They promote sex. Hey, you know what? Just be careful. Hey, is it no wonder why there's AIDS today? Is there no wonder, you know, you just need to stay moral and stay clean and stay pure. And you know what? Sex is not until marriage. I know that's blunt, but that's what the Bible teaches. Okay? We don't need to be teaching them at fourth, fifth, sixth grade. Okay? And by the way, parents, that's your responsibility at a certain age, at a certain time in their life. Okay? But the truth of the matter is, we are supposed to go ahead and lead these youngins. And, okay, as I mentioned last week, there are going to be two ways to go, the prudent path or the path of the scorner. So the path is simple. Simple one to prudent. This is what I'm encouraging, obviously. This is our goal for you, young person, okay? And leader here, as a parent tonight, this ought to be our goal, okay? We ought to be the prudent people, and we ought to be saying, hey, come on over here. Come on over here. Cody, come on up and help me a minute. I want to illustrate a little bit more here. Okay, I just wanted to use him because he's easy to pick on, easy target. Okay, as a little baby, be small a minute. Okay, all right, as a little baby, he should have all these people. You know what, we're talking to church crowd here tonight. You know, he ought to have somebody already just loving him in the Lord in that nursery. Then as he comes to, okay, kindergarten, he's getting a little bigger now. Okay, and then he comes to, three and four-year-old. Then he comes to first, second, third grade, and so forth. And you know what? All along the way, we ought to be loving this guy, teaching this guy this book. Mom and dad ought to be doing it. Sunday school teacher ought to be doing it. That's why we ought to be consistent. We ought to be in our place and be faithful and so forth. And then we get when he gets here, okay, when he gets to this fork in the road, and every young person will face it, because I bet you if all of us adults admitted it, we would say, you know, I remember that fork. I can remember that fork. The scorner was here, and somebody's going to go ahead and meet him, and hopefully we've ground enough Bible in his head that he would go ahead and say, you know what? The prudent path is the way to go. And when he goes ahead and goes to the prudent path, you know what? That will lead him to wisdom. Okay? And by the way, the Bible says in Joshua 1:8, all through the years we have gone ahead and tried to put the word of God in his head, and hopefully somewhere along the way, I'm not hurting you, right? You're okay? All right, okay. All right, but we've gone ahead and tried to teach him and train him, and the Bible also says where there no counsel is, the people follow. You know what? Somewhere along the way, we may think, if we're not careful, we'll just start quitting. Well, the Sunday school is not quite so important. Or, I don't really need to be on the bus route. You know, and some of us leaders, what happens, we start backsliding, if you will, and that's why we leaders, we need to stay sensitive to the will of God. Let me tell you something. If you were a worker 10 years ago, it's probably still God's will that you're a worker 10 years later. Amen. Okay, if we're a soldier for the cross, soldiers, you know what? They don't quit in the midst of battle, and we're in a battle. Okay, the Bible says that we're supposed to be armed. We are soldiers in different things and so forth. And the truth of the matter is, stay right here a minute. I'm not through with you yet, but I have to walk around a little bit because I need to lose a little bit of weight. But anyways, if we're soldiers of the cross, which we are, the Bible says we are, okay? And we enlisted perhaps actually when we got saved, and we're supposed to put on the whole armor of God, okay? You know what? If we enlisted then, you know what? There is no time until the very day that we breathe our last breath to quit. We are in this battle for the long haul. We ought not be quitting on our kids halfway in between. We ought not be quitting on our Sunday school class when we hit a certain age. We ought not be quitting that bus route. Hey, you know what? If God called you to a worker position, then, you know what? Probably, you can guess, 15, 20 years later, you're still supposed to be in that position. Okay? Unless if some certain things happen, but, you know, unless if you're ill or in bed or ill or something like that. But the truth of the matter is, if he called you then, you know what, down the road, you know why? Because these little guys are watching them. These little guys, you know what was happening, unfortunately, and I've seen this, I've been in the ministry long enough, I've seen leaders in these little guys, you know what, past 2 weeks, well, I got to, as of this date, I'm done with my Sunday school class. I'll sit down with them and say, why? Well, because, you know, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, whatever the case may be, and so forth, and, you know, and all through the years, that's why the Bible demands faithfulness. It's required of a steward that we're found faithful, the Bible says. And we ought to be a good steward with what God has allowed us to do. You know what? Serving God is a privilege. You know, the very fact that we, you know what, we're serving God tonight. The very fact that we can come to a midweek service like this, you know what, it is a privilege to be here tonight. I don't know about you, I'm excited. And I and your bus route ought to be still exciting for you like it was the very day you started. Your Sunday school class still ought to be exciting to you like it was the day you started. Hey, the truth of the matter is what happens is there is a breakdown here of leaders, if you will, just quitting, and little eyes see that and say, well, you know what, so-and-so, I had brother so-and-so as my teacher or Miss Soldier, or whatever the case may be, you know what? The ministry wasn't that important to them. So somewhere along the way, there's a breakdown. Then they get here. And it's no wonder. And by the way, good kids. But it's no wonder when they get to that fork, you know, there's a scorner over, hey, come this way, try it. Come on over here. Hey, you know what? And it's no wonder that the devil tries to make sin look pretty, just like he did in the Garden of Eden. He was the scorner, if you will. He was the critic. He was critical of what hath God said. You know, remember to Eve? And so, hey, come on, Eve. You know, that tree isn't so bad. Come on over here. He was a scorner, which ultimately led them to foolishness. Went ahead and took the fruit and their foolish behavior, cast them out of that beautiful Garden of Eden, which was not the plan of God, by the way. Hey, you know what the plan of God for this guy is? You know what the plan of God for your child is? You know what the plan of God for your Sunday school pupil is? You know what the plan of God for you, leader, is? Hey, stay faithful and serve God and raise that child up in the admonition of the Lord and keep on giving him the good fruit of the word of God and teach and train him and do not quit. That's the plan of God. And we need some people, we need some prudent people that will say, you know what, no matter what, bless God, hey, I'm going to go ahead and stick by the stuff. I'm going to go ahead and teach my class. I'm going to be in church faithfully because my little girl, my little boy sees. And by the way, I've said it before, you know what, your child will ultimately do what is important to you. If church isn't that important, you know what? Let me tell you something. Don't you blame them. Well, why are you in church when they're 25 years old? Why aren't you raising my grandkids in church? Well, it might be mom because, or dad, wasn't so important to you. They'd have a right to say it too. 25, 26 years old. And so here we get to this fork, and then the devil will try to make sin look, hey, come on over here. Come on over here. All right? And ultimately, what happens is this guy, because he hangs around the critic, scorners, they don't like authority. You know, oh, Cody, you don't have to go ahead and listen to that preacher. You don't have to listen to your mom and dad. You don't have to go ahead and do that. And literally, you know what, that scorner, that crowd has gone ahead and got him. And it's no wonder why good kids. And by the way, you know what, all the kids that wound up on that stat, you know what? They all started out as good kids. You know, they were innocent. But somewhere along the way, maybe the breakdown in the home. Somewhere along the way, you know, of course, God not being in the home. Of course, God being pushed out of our society totally. That's why, and I'm not done yet, okay? I don't know, is this working tonight? Can you hear me okay? All right, that's okay, it's okay. That's right. But that's why, okay, someone said, well, what about these kids, okay? What about these kids who don't have the opportunity to have Christian parents, okay? You know, I feel bad, and by the way, we can't reach them all. I wish we could. I wish I could go ahead and wave a wand and say, you know what, we could reach every child in Carver and Plymouth and try to get them in church under the prudent teaching of God and under some good men of God. Hey, you know what, I wish we could, but you know what, that's why. Okay, not everybody has the same opportunity as a Cody and the kids that are here tonight. To be able to be in church 3 times a week, have a godly mama and daddy to bring them church. That's why it's so important that we have the outreach ministries that we have. That's why we have the bus ministry, to try to get every single little boy and girl and teenager to come to church and get them under the teaching of the Word of God, so that maybe not all of them, I wish it'd be 100% statistic there, but maybe not all of them 30 that ride our buses, maybe at least one or two might be able to be down the road. And because of our prudent teaching and our stick-to-itiveness and not quitting, you know what? We nudge them. And as Isaiah says, you know, the prudent people say, come this way, walk this way, and walking in it, come this way. I forget the name of the verse, it left me. But you know what? What Isaiah was saying, come this way. And so what we do, and this is what I've done through the years, is I've gone ahead, and I've stood in the gap for these guys. I went ahead and I'd say, hey, listen, I wanted to be that prudent person that they could count on. Say, you don't want to go over there. Come this way. And I saw them start to veer over there. I had no bones about getting in there. Hey, come on. You know, I'm gonna go ahead and run interference. Hey, let's go this way. Let's go this way. You know, because I want you to go this way and over the, no. But let's go this way. Hey, listen, stay there a minute. Because by them going this way, by them absorbing and memorizing the scripture all the way from here, 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 and faithful people being around them and teaching them the Word of God and giving subtlety, verse number 4 of Proverbs chapter 1, to the simple, which is what we're supposed to do. That word subtlety there means wisdom. And we're passing it on each and every year, that child. And yes, someone's going to stand here. There's going to be a scorner here say, come over here. It looks a little better. Yeah, sin does look enticing. It looks a little pretty at first. But you know what? Then they get around this crowd, and it's no wonder why the jails are filled today. There's no wonder why there's so many pregnancies out of wedlock. There's no wonder why there's abortions, all this junk today, simply because there was a breakdown here for this child. And that's why, again, we won't reach them all, but that's why, again, we just keep on running the buses. We keep on going soul winning. We could keep on running interference, if we will, to try to get as many people, lost people, under the sound of the gospel as possible, so that maybe we can have some sort of statistic of some boy or girl that can raise that could go through the ministry of Faith Baptist Church, and they come to this fork and say, and there's a bunch of people, there's a whole crowd of people who say, hey, come on over here. You don't want to go over there. You don't want to go over there. You're kind of standing right there, and you may have to go ahead and football tackle them a little bit, but you know, you don't want this. It looks pretty over here, but you don't want the foolishness over here. You don't want the jail cells that this will bring. You don't want the junk this will bring. You don't want everything, the broken marriages and the broken homes that this will bring. Hey, come this way. Follow the prudent person, and we'll keep on teaching you wisdom, which will get him to wisdom, to the will of God. And you know what success is? It's simply finding the will of God and doing it. You know, my goal for these kids here is for the next generation, for them to find the will of God, which is true success. It's not what you have in your pocketbook. It's not the credit cards that you may hold. But the truth of the matter is, my desire for every teenager, my desire for every child, my desire for every parent and every family is for you to have success, which is just simply finding the will of God and doing it. And that's why the prudent people, the multitude of counselors, hey, you know what? We're supposed to be running interference, and we're supposed to stay in tune with one another instead of bickering. Well, the preacher said this, and this happened. The Sunday school superintendent, this. You know, I'm just going to go ahead and quit. And what kind of impression does that put on your child? They see a mama and daddy get excited about church. They get saved. Get excited about church. You can go sit down now. Thank you, Cody. Give him a big hand. Boy, what a guy. Good job. Get a little hot. I'm a little hot too, but that's okay. Man, I have no idea where my notes are. I hope this is good. This is good. I'm excited. Listen to me. You know, again, what's the purpose of the church? Yes, to win the lost to Christ, obviously. We're going to go soul winning. But the truth of the matter is, listen to me. You know, we need to go ahead and live, and we need to pray for these simple ones, and we need to guard over them. We need to watch over them. We need to take care of them. We need to teach them. We need to train them so that when they get here, you know what? We say, walk this. Come on. Come on over here. And my goal, so that they can have the will of God. And it might just be, if we stay faithful, okay, and we will stay, as far as I'm concerned, as long as I'm pastoring here, we will stay faithful to the Word of God, to our outreach ministries. You know, the buses are going to keep on running. I hope someday to multiply them. But the truth of the matter, we be faithful to doing what we are supposed to do. Let me tell you something. It might just be that one or two of them young little boys and girls that we reached on that bus route because of our running interference for them. Might just be that when they get over here to Wisdom, they could be going off to Bible college. They could go off and be a preacher, a preacher's wife, or missionary, or whatever else God has for them. The truth of the matter is, you know what? And it starts right here in guiding them all the way through. I've got to keep moving here. Again, I didn't get very far here. So the prudent person, okay, that's what we're supposed to do. Here, they'll come to this fork. You know, the scorner's going to be here. Hey, come on over here. Just like that's the devil for you. Hey, Eve, come on over here. It's not so bad. And look at where Eve, Adam, and Eve wound up. They wound up literally out of the will of God. Hey, being outside the garden was not the will of God for Adam and Eve. They were supposed to stay there, by the way. That's why God created it. Okay? And all these other instances, you know, this crowd here, the scorning crowd, they don't want anything to do with authority. They don't want to have anything to do with the preaching. They don't want to They don't want to listen to the Sunday school teacher. They don't want to go ahead and whatever, lift up Christ. So they find this crowd, and for a little while, and by the way, the scorner, if the peers would go ahead and stand up to the scorner and say, I don't want what you have. You know what? The scorner, at the end of the day, always stands alone. At the end of the day, he'll always be left by himself. You know what? And if the peers, let me tell you something, young people. If you got people going ahead and complaining, well, you know, the church is boring, or, you know, he's too hard on the preaching, and he's too this, or my Sunday school's this, teacher's this, or the bus route's this, or whatever the case may be. Let me tell you something. Hey, teenager, hey, child, if you got people complaining about authority in their life, you better get away, because they're scorning the authority that God has placed in their life. Let me tell you something. They are heading towards foolishness. Amen. That's biblical, by the way. They are heading towards foolishness, and they're going to be heading towards unrest, if you will, even perhaps broken homes and all kinds of stuff. Let me tell you something, teenager. If you're hanging around a kind of crowd that mocks the preacher, that mocks your mama and daddy, that mocks, hey, you know, I don't have to listen to my mom and dad. Oh, yes, you do, young person. You are under their roof. They go ahead and pay for your food. They go ahead and buy your clothes, whatever. Well, you know, I buy my clothes. Well, still, you know what? If you feel like you can go ahead and make it on your own, then you go ahead and do it. Let me tell you something. You'd be coming back to mom and daddy about 2-3 days later. I promise you that. And listen to me. You know what? Young person, even some of you children, you hear people going ahead and making fun of the teacher. I don't have to listen to the teacher. I don't have to listen to the preacher. You know what? Red flag better go up and say, you know what? You ought to take a stand and say, you know what, I don't want that kind of attitude. You know what, and by the way, you know what, you decide to do right, teenager, young child. You decide to take a stand because, you know what, I'm going to follow the prudent people in my life. I'm going to follow my mama and daddy, take me to church. I'm going to go ahead and follow my preacher who preaches hard. And why does he preach hard? Because I love you. I'm going to listen to my Sunday school teacher. You can go ahead and make fun of the preacher all you want. You can make fun of your mama and daddy all you want. But let me tell you something. I don't want what you have. And you know what? It won't be long. The scorner will be left by themselves. I've seen it happen time and time again. And you know what? Those that decided to take a stand, you know what? They're down here, and they came to that fork, said, I don't want that. They took a stand. They went towards prudent, and they went to wisdom. Let me tell you something. They're the happiest teenagers in the world today. They're the happiest young people in the world today. Them, I'm talking about even young, the simpler ones, the younger ones. You learn to obey every day, young kids. Every day. Your mama and daddy say, get up, time for school. You know what? You rise up and you obey right away. You know what? And you do that every single day. Let me tell you something, kids. You'll have a happy life. You'll have a very happy life. And you know what? Let's pick on the adults a minute. You know? I know I've been kind of zooming in here a little bit, all over here, but the truth of the matter is, you know, even we adults, you know what? If we go ahead and obey the laws of the land, if we go ahead and obey our boss and do it, you know what? You'll have a happy life too. By the way, adults, we're supposed to be the examples to these younger ones. You know, we need to stick with it. The prudent person is the one who will lead them to wisdom. The scorner is the one that will go ahead and lead them to foolishness. The prudent person learns from the mistakes of others and has a heart for learning. He has learned to stand back and take a long look at the situations developing around him. Proverbs 27:12, the Bible says, a prudent man, you can turn to it, write it down, but I got it written down here. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple ones pass on and are punished. So here's what happens, okay? These are the prudent, if you will, in the child's life, okay, in the simple one's life. You know what? Why are they prudent? Because they've lived a little while. They've gone ahead and the Bible says they foresee the evil and they hide themselves from it. Okay, because they see what is up ahead, it better enables them to go ahead and teach the simple one, say, you know what, you don't want that way, you don't want to go that way. And when the simple decide, hey, you know what, they get here, no, I don't, I can make my own decision. I can go to church whether I want to or not, I don't have to go to church. You know, they get to this point, okay, they get to this point where they want to make their own decision. And all through the years, you know, you've had Sunday school teachers, you had moms and dads get up, go to church. You've had Sunday school teachers, hey, stay in church, read your Bible, pray, go soul winning, live for God at fourth grade, live for God all the way through. Then they get here, and all through the years, wise, prudent people, they saw down the road. And they were warning these kids all the way along the way. And the sad part about it is sometimes there's a few that choose this path. And they'll go this way. And the truth matters, they will not be happy. They may seem happy, and they may even look happy for a little while. And when you come around, I've seen it, when you come around, they might have that kind of smile on their face, but you can read right through them. They're miserable. Because all these years, they've been taught. They know what this word says. They know what the Bible says. The Bible says the word of God will not return void. And let me tell you something. Those who want to veer off the path and live around the scorning crowd that reject church and reject God and reject mama and dad and all this, you know what? They may look happy at first, but you know, deep down inside, they're not as happy as you think they are. They're not very happy at all. Hey, the prudent person, hey, it's so important, adults, it's so important, leaders, that we remain prudent, foresee the evil. The simple person, if you're not careful, you got two paths to take. You can go ahead and go the way of the scorner, or you can go ahead and go the way of the prudent. Oh, man. Okay, I'm just looking here at the time, but the simple choose this path. I'm talking about the path of the scorner. Then he, of course, becomes a fool. That's what the Bible says. They become a fool. And by the way, no one's born a fool. No one is born a fool. We choose foolishness simply because of the crowd that we choose to hang with, maybe at this particular time in life, and that's the direction that we wind up going. I'm kind of moving right along here. So the primary decision for a teenager, either listen to the prudent guide who will lead you to the wisdom, or listen to the scorner who will lead you to foolishness. Some of the other descriptions for a simple one is lacking discretion, open-minded, vulnerable to backsliders and apostates, lacking understanding, they're gullible. I'm talking about the simple ones, believing every word, lacks discernment, is short-sighted, and is corrected by words and example. You know, a simple person, I'm going to have to wind up here. A simple person can be likened to a blank sheet of paper. And whoever gets that simple one first gets to go ahead and draw the picture. If this simple one, because of lack of direction or whatever the case may be, listen to me. They get here, if the scorner gets a hold of them first, you know what? He's the one that gets to go ahead and draw the picture. But if the prudent gets to that simple one first, let me tell you something, the picture will be a whole lot prettier, by the way, a lot prettier. You know, the simple can be likened to a blank sheet of paper, and who anyone can write on it, and whoever writes first or whoever gets there first has the privilege or the right to draw the picture. Hey, if the prudent, hey, young people, let the prudent folks in your life. Let your mama and daddy teach you. Let the preacher preach to you. Yeah, I don't always like it. Yeah, but you know what? Let the preacher preach. Let your Sunday school teacher teach you. Let the authority in your life go ahead and be the prudent guides. Let them be the tour guides, if you will, of your young life. And leaders tonight, and I'm through for tonight. Let's remain prudent. You know, somewhere along the way, you know, somewhere along the way, you know, we were called, if you will. The preacher came to you and said, hey, I want you to teach a class or do this or whatever. You know, and God, and ultimately God called you to go ahead and serve. You know, if he called you to serve here, you know, he's called you to serve down there too. And you know what? We need to next year be in our place, and maybe even more so doing more. Maybe the next year we ought to be in our place, you know, teaching our children, the church children, the bus children, so that maybe when they get down here, you know, we can run interference. We can be the cheerleaders, say, hey, come over here. This is the direction you want to go. And by the way, prudent people, parents, you know what? Parents, you have a right to know who your kids are hanging with. Amen. You're the parent. You're the prudent one. You know, I have, you know what? We have text messages. You know, I have no problem asking my kid, who's texting you right now? What are they saying? Where are you going? Who are you going with? What time are you going back, coming back? You know what? You say, I just can't do it. You know what? My children, you know, I'm supposed to be the prudent one. I'm supposed to help lead them and guide them. And you know what? If there's a breakdown in the home, you know what? It might be very well like that multitude of counselors I was talking about. You know, if there's a breakdown right there in the home, there's a weak link there. Okay? And I'll go ahead and I'll just use me as, you know, if I decide, well, I'm going to be a little, oh, my kids are going to be just fine with who they go with and so forth. If I get a little bit lax there, but, you know, I remain faithful in everything else that I do. But the truth of the matter is, there's a weak link there, and you know what? I've given the devil ample opportunity. Say, you know what? They've kind of loosened up a little bit. You've got that fiery darts of the wicked. And, phew. And you know, is it no wonder why that child of yours has that indifferent look when it comes time for church? Maybe not at this young age, but just about fifth and sixth. Yeah, I gotta go to church. You hear him on the phone, yeah, I gotta go to church. My parents are making me go to church. It might be simply because there was a breakdown back here. Hey, you know what? Hey, parent, you have every right to know what your kid's doing. You have every right to know what they're watching. You have every right to know what they're looking at on any of their screens. You have a right to know who they're hanging around with, where they're going, what time they're gonna be back, what house they're gonna stay overnight at. You have every right to know what are they gonna do at that house. You have every right. And let me tell you something. Hey, prudent folks, I'm talking about the leaders tonight. You know what? We need to be faithful all the way down through. Hey, you know what? These young lives, they depend on it. And if these kids that are in this room tonight are going to go ahead and make it, let me tell you something. And don't get me wrong. There'll be a few that's going to fall. It just will. It just will. I hope and pray none in this room, but there may be a few that may go ahead and disappoint us. But you know what? It ought not be because we said, well, I'm not going to teach anymore. Oh, I'm going to go ahead and loosen up in the home. I'll have devotions when I have it. I'll do this when I have it. I'm going to go ahead and quit the bus route. It better not be. They better not go ahead and fall by the wayside simply because we prudent ones decided, you know what, I'm done. Whatever reason, I got vacation, I got this or whatever. And again, I'm not against that. But the truth of the matter is, you know what, we need to be faithful. Because these young kids, you know what, these young teenagers, their life, their success, which is God's will in doing it, depends upon it. It depends very, very strongly upon it. And you know, it doesn't matter what role that you play. You know, it doesn't matter what role you could be. You could be the janitor at church. You could be a bus driver. You could be whatever the case may be. You know what? If you are in a position where little boys and girls are looking up to you, you have a very, very, very important role. And you know what? If we want to break down all this here, you know, it's no wonder that they'll take this path. It's no wonder why there's heartbroken Christian mama and daddies back here weeping for their child because he or she went out and had a night of it. She had an abortion at 16. She went ahead and ran away from home, or he went ahead and ran away from home simply because it might be some prudent people in their life that went ahead and messed up and loosened up, which brought them to scorn, which led them to foolishness. But on the good side of that, you know, those that just love the Lord, mama and daddy lifting up Christ in the home, mom and daddy getting their kids and their family in church and getting them and all the leaders there. You know what? They get down here and the choice becomes a little bit easier. You know what? Hey, you know what? This is the way to go. The prudent, which leads them to wisdom, which leads them ultimately to success, which is the will of God. Now, Heavenly Father, I preach with urgency, Lord. I just believe very much in reaching the young people in the next generation. But it's going to take we leaders to go ahead and stand our ground. It's going to take us to remain prudent, the wise one, leading them to wisdom. I pray, dear God, that we won't take this lightly. And as we go another couple weeks, we'll talk next week about the prudent person and the scorner a little bit more in depth. But I pray, God, that we'll absorb this. Lord, I just believe in this very much. And I pray, Lord, that you just help us. Help us leaders to stand strong. Help us to realize that we were called then, we're still called now to do whatever you want us to do. Help us to remain in your word. Help us to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I pray, dear Lord, that you be with these young people. Every single young person, I love them. I want to see them make it. I want to see them go to wisdom and have the success. And it might be, there might be the next preacher in this room tonight. There might be the next missionary. There might be the next pastor's wife or whatever it is that you have for them, God, simply because they went the prudent path. I pray, Lord, that you'd bless. Have your will and way tonight. Help us to give subtlety. Proverbs 1 verse 4, to the simple. That's our job as the prudent. I pray you'd bless in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. The music's going to play. Stand to our feet. And the music's going to go ahead and play. I don't know what the Lord maybe has laid on your heart, teenager. Maybe the Lord has laid on your heart to stick with it. Maybe a prudent person, leadership role, mom or daddy, Sunday school teacher. Maybe you just kind of got a little press a reset button tonight and say, you know, I'm going to remain prudent. I'm going to remain steadfast in the work that God's called me to do. Hey, music's going to go ahead and play.